So nice to sit together. I do always have this fleeting thought of we should just stay in silence, sit together. But today, starting in January, we had begun the journey through the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. And of the recent weeks, we sort of deviated us off into other things. And I want to have us come back a little bit to explore what's known as sort of the last basket of the Eightfold Path. And I've referenced a book before by Ajahn Sumedho. It's an online book called The Four Noble Truths. And it is one of my favorite Dharma books ever. But we've been working with it with residential staff at Spirit Rock. And I've read it any number of times. It's short, maybe 80 or 100 pages or so. But in this book, Ajahn Sumedho, who's sort of one of our, there's Ajahn Chah, who is a profound lineage holder for sort of our style of Vipassana meditation. And Sumedho was one of the first Western monks to ordain with Ajahn Chah. So he's definitely sort of a grandfather lineage for us here at Spirit Rock and at IMS, our sister center in Barre, Massachusetts. And in his laying out of the Four Noble Truths, which are just there in this human realm, there is suffering, dukkha, which can be translated as distress, dissatisfaction, the wonky wheel on the shopping cart. There are causes for the stress, aversion, grasping, not wanting things to be different. That there's a way out of this suffering. It's possible to end the suffering caused by craving and aversion. And the fourth noble truth is here. It's this Eightfold Path. And it can be thought of, again, in Sumedho's book, he talks about sort of the eight legs that support us, and that these, the three baskets, as he breaks it down, the first two on the Eightfold Path are wise understanding, wise intention. It's sort of orienting to, oh, there's a way to be different. There's a way of watching the mind, of not always believing our thoughts. There's a way of finding that there is a place of resting, of contentment and ease and happiness. And it's not in the ways that we're sort of taught in terms of growing up, of acquiring more stuff. The second basket is that the Pali word is sila, S-I-L-A, integrity. And this orientation to living a life of the blameless, of not harming, of not stealing, of not misusing our sexual energy, of not consuming that which is toxic, be it food or drink or news or information in some varying forms in which we can absorb news, noticing, is this good for my system? This way in which the honor, living a life of integrity and the freedom that can come when we know we haven't harmed others through our actions, our speech, or the ways in which we make our livelihood in the world. And as we've explored each of these in different ways, but this beautiful invitation to, if we strive, have the aspiration to live the life of the blameless, as it were, in particular of watching how we use our speech, our body, our actions, when we stay in a place of, when we move from a place of integrity, life is easier. There's less remorse. There's less guilt. There's less perseverating. So that basket. And the third basket is that of wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. And we're going to locate here in this third basket today. And I want to say, again, in Sumedho's writing, what I have never heard before is his aligning these three baskets with the parts of the body. So the first one, wise understanding, wise intention, is orienting to the mind, how the mind starts to think about things like this. The sila is the body, how we move in the world. And bhavana, which is this collection of effort, concentration, and mindfulness, is the spirit, it's the heart. And the beauty of being able to use each of these eight legs, these eight limbs of the tree, whichever image is most useful to you, as a support to reflect in our lives. Well, what am I doing? How am I orienting? What am I thinking? How am I behaving? How am I showing up in the world? And his invitation to really look at each of these as a means of reflection in order to find a sense of liberation and freedom from the mind that is conditioned and habituated, both whatever we grew up with that might not have necessarily been helpful, or conditioned culturally in ways that are not service. And being able to understand, is this thought, this belief pattern that I have, is it mine or is it more cultural, societal? And being able to bring a sense of clarity to what's, to actually see what's true. It's said that the Buddhist practice, if you think of it, there's a shore here of suffering and a bridge over to this shore over here, which is liberation, freedom. That the, and this bridge has three posts. And the first one is that of dana, generosity, opening the heart. The second, that goes the deepest, is that of sila, integrity. And the third is that of this bhavana, this mindfulness and concentration. And that we need the first two, the heart to be open and kind of aligning our energies and actions in a way of integrity to be able then to work with the meditative practices. And again, in this basket of the wise effort and wise concentration and mindfulness, Sumedho really points to how when that these are anchoring for us in the sense of bringing harmony and balance, that when we've paid attention to the previous two baskets, again, how our mind, what the orientation is of the mind, how our actions are in alignment with that which we value, then there can be space in the mind. And he points to, if we don't, if we're not able to find a sense of refuge within our own person, within the mind, within the heart, within the body, then we're constantly looking out. We're looking for something to read, to something to consume, to ways to be engaged in a way in which we're orienting our sense of being in the world out there, which is really precarious and familiar. I would think, I know it for myself and for others, when there's a lot of agitation in the mind and I don't want to sit, it's like, what, can I read something? Can I listen to something? Can I watch something as a means of distracting? Because the sense of ease and spaciousness is not present. And a poem I used to quote all the time, it's been a little while, called The Clearing by Martha Postlewaithe, is can we create a clearing in the dense busyness of our lives? And there's such a beautiful image of, can we create a clearing such that we can rest? And that these, this third basket of the Eightfold Path, wise effort, concentration, mindfulness, is like, here's how you create the clearing as a place to rest that can bring a sense of balance. In it, in this chapter, he talks about it's so easy to be offended. And certainly of late, not so much quite in the last couple months, but say previous years here in the States, we had a, our president could say many things that could land to some of us as very offensive in the ways in which we can be offended by that which's happening on the world, or say it's rudeness of someone up there, or I happen to be living with a teenager and potential to work with not being offended. There are ample opportunities for that. And he speaks about taking the vow to not be offended, because it doesn't mean we're not, the ouch won't be there. If someone's rude to us or energetically has that impact, there will be an ouch. It will land. And then we have this choice. Well, then what do we do with it? Do we perseverate around this person and this da-da-da-da-da? Or if it's like a teenager being rude, what's this kid going to be like when she gets older? Blah, blah, blah. We can perseverate and add all these additional arrows of suffering. Helpful? No, not so much. It doesn't, it's not an invitation to be a doormat or we're okay with whatever. It's just watching how we react to that. We are going to be offended. He has a line that the life is full of things that can offend, hurt, wound, and shatter us. This is life. This is the way it is. It cannot be otherwise. In this earthly realm, we are going to be hurt. We are going to be offended. We are going to be wounded. We will hurt others. We will offend others. We will, may hopefully not, but perhaps shatter others. Okay. That is this human realm. It cannot be otherwise. If someone is mean to you, speaks in a harsh voice, you're going to feel it. But the mind then can go and be offended and create this whole story about how we are offended and they are wrong and we are right. And this proliferation of the mind is what can cause so much suffering. We're not trying to be insensitive. Rather, we're trying not to give it the wrong interpretation. We're trying not to take it so personally. Having balanced emotions and being able to stay steady an image I like a lot that the Venerable Anālaya uses is there's this agitation, our emotions and our thought patterns can sometimes be like the agitation on the top of the ocean, choppy current, choppy ocean. And we drop down to where there's more spaciousness and go down 20, 30, 40, 50 feet, right? There's a stillness in the motion of the ocean. So being able to drop into a sense of having balance means that people can say things that are offensive and we can take it. You have the balance and the emotional strength to not be offended or wounded or shattered by the inevitabilities of life. And being able to really stand in, oh, this is how it is here. It cannot be otherwise. He also points to what this gives us in addition to a sense of, or perhaps aspiring to a sense of balance. And steadiness is this real sense of fearlessness, like, okay, bring it, I can take it. I may still have the ouch of it, but I don't have to be so mortally wounded because I have a sense both of refuge within my own capacity. I can rest in this clearing, in the dense busyness of my mind or the dense busyness of my life. There's a place where I can rest. There's an internal refuge. And that strength, that place of refuge really can give us a sense of security that is not bound or dependent on outwardly conditions. There's some freedom right there. It allows us to not be frightened so much that one is, it's okay. I've handwritten these notes. I have terrible handwriting, so I can't quite read it. But being able to have, the confidence of these teachings, the confidence and the integrity of how we're showing up, that this too helps create this clearing to be able to live this life of courage and fearlessness because we have confidence in our capacity to meet what comes, which is faith. The word in Pali for faith is sadha, S-A-D-H-A. It translated literally can be, what do we rest our heart upon? This is one of my favorite words. But it's also faith in our capacity to meet what comes, how we cultivate this capacity is this ability to create this clearing, right? The sense of spaciousness and openness to meet what comes. There, in this book, I periodically quote from it. It's Rebecca Solnit's Hope in the Dark, this fifth little book. She talks about many things, but last night looking through it, she uses a phrase from, it's actually from an environmentalist in New Mexico called the Radical Center. And in the chapter, she's talking about how so often here in the States and in the West, the environmentalists can be pitted against ranchers. There's a lot of contention in one view and the other view. And there's a line that the environmentalists and the ranchers are fighting each other while the developers come in and take all the land in a valley in New Mexico. And this man speaking about the need for a radical center. And I love that phrase, not just in terms, and speaking about when the point of the environmentalist in using this term radical center is this, can we have the ranchers and the environmentalists and the business people, can we find common ground to come together to really protect that which we love? And here in the States with the new president, we're sort of shifting the balance, perhaps. Can we come into what would it be like if politically here in the States and globally, we live from a radical center that was inclusive of different voices and being able to make space for how do we take care of each other? How do we take care of the earth within our own bodies? Can we imagine inhabiting a sense of a radical center that we are not so easily offended or knocked off balance by events, by the struggle of this kind of limbo place? Someone said languishing in the chat. A few people spoke to that. The sense of where are we in terms of the world's opening it up, but are we safe? And some are vaccinated and some are not. One shot, two shots. There's this weird sense of what are we doing out in the world? How do we, and I've spoken with many people who have this question of why don't really want to go back to the social life I had a year ago, or people wanting to stay more secluded. How do we do this? And the push and the pull and being able to own our own radical center. And imagine being able to kind of embody that sense of a radical center within our own form. And I'm pulling up the screen because the poems I want to read are on the screen. So from Lucille Clifton, we will wear new bones again. We will leave these rainy days, break through another mouth into sun in honey time. Worlds buzz over us like bees. We be splendid in new bones. Other people think they know how long life is, how strong life is. We know. Can we imagine this radical center almost giving us a sense of new bones, a new capacity to meet this changing world that we're in that's pretty uncertain? We don't really know. There's hope, but maybe we don't know. Can we imagine the sense of what if we had these new bones that could give us strength to meet whatever comes? From Jane Kenyon, I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birchwood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day, just like this day. But one day I know it will be otherwise. Then I ask you to close your eyes. Just to check in how and where you might be. Feeling again your sense of your own body located in space, in place, connected to the earth, the environment that you are in. And again, to really take a moment here to locate yourself. Where am I? Energetically inviting the energies back in to your own form, finding this clearing within your own body, within the mind. To borrow from Lucille Clifton, what would it be like to imagine having new bones that are still and solid, healthy and strong, new bones that are infused with a capacity that says, come on, bring it. I can meet whatever comes with a steadiness of heart, an openness of the mind that is nimble and reflective and open. These new bones, this new skeletal form that could allow us to be upright and strong and fearless and lion-hearted. The bones that could protect us. The skin might get bruised by words that offend. And yet we know there is strength and power and beauty in these bones to meet whatever comes. Can we imagine these new bones forming around the radical center that we can occupy that allows us to feel equanimous and open-hearted, steady and lion-hearted? This radical center that is available, that we can sit down in the middleness of it, that definition of upekkha, Pali word for equanimity, this radical center that is equanimous and calm and spaciousness that imbues this radical center that can hold different ideas, that can metabolize words, actions that offend and hurt. A radical center, unshakable by the storms within and the storms without. What would it be like to occupy that place and move in the world from our own radical center? And just invite you to pause here. Linger for a moment or two more to feel the sense of either a sense of it or imagine the potential to be able to truly, in the bones, in the cells of the bones, in the marrow, be able to inhabit a sense of steadiness and balance that is bolstered and supported by these practices of wise effort, wise mindfulness, the awareness, the awakenedness, wise concentration and ability to stay with oneself, to receive the world, to respond to the world in accordance to that which you value and hold dear. How might your life, your posture, the attitude shift if you allowed yourself to feel fearless in the bones and to own and occupy that sense of strength, feminine strength that can come from inhabiting that radical center? So, thank you so much for staying with me, coming with me on that journey.